Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 1, we were talking about the extraordinary power that is given to Christians to serve the Lord. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
You remember back in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11? We're told there that neither fornicators. Fornication comes from the Greek word porneia, which we get our word pornography from, and so therefore include pornography, but also sexual sin of any kind. It's not just some type of fornication is a sexual sin between two unmarried people. No, it's any type of sexual sin, whether it's what the Bible calls effeminate, which would be homosexuality, lesbianism, so forth, whether it is bestiality, cheating on your mate. It's a general term, fornication. Idolaters, those who make images of things, whether they're in heaven or on earth or under the earth, they make idols of things that they worship. Adulterers, these are people who cheat on their mate. Effeminate, these are the homosexuals that the Bible is teaching here, and the Bible's our authority, that is a sin. Abusers of themselves with mankind. And we think of those perverts that abuse children and women and others. We're told thieves, covetous, the drunkards, and yes, the Bible says drunkards, so it's drunkards, revelers, that's the guy that's a party type guy with that social drinks. He's not drunk, he's social drinking, he's involved in revelry. And then there's the extortioner. And the Lord says there, the Bible says, that none of these shall enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. But what is so interesting after that is he says, and such were some of you, but ye are cleansed. How are we cleansed? By the blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, it's through the power of God, it's through his shed blood and his resurrection that those sins can be such were, they're no longer part of you. You're no longer a fornicator, no longer an idolater, you're no longer an adulterer, you're no longer a homosexual, you're no longer an abuser of others, you're no longer a thief, a covetous, or a drunkard, or a reveler, or an extortioner. You're no longer those things. They are no longer a habit. They don't have victory over you any longer because you've been saved by the power of God. And so you walk in the Spirit of God, you walk in the Word of God, you walk in obedience to God, and those things have lost their power. He saves you from the penalty of your sin and the power of your sin. And in the life to come, even the presence of sin. But oh, there are other sins there that get in. Sins on the inner man, such as a sower of discord, which the Bible calls an abomination. A critical spirit. A hypocritical nature. Tries to make people think that we are spiritually what we really aren't. You see, this spirit of power is totally of God and is in us. This power is restrained only by our lack of faith and our lack of consecration. This power is utterly adequate for every demand that will be laid upon us. Now, it is not only power to endure patiently, but it's also the power to strike good blows for Jesus Christ. Now, if you are conscious of the divine call, And your appointment in life, as we read earlier of Ephesians 2:10, that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before, even before we got saved, before we were born, he ordained a will for our life and things that he wanted us to do, that you should walk in it. Now, if you are conscious of that divine call, you've sought it with your whole heart and God reveals it to you, then you can proceed in the force and power that is not inherent in your natural man, but it is in the new man. Now, this power can work on, hold on, suffer or die, but it does so in a victorious, triumphant, and unquenched flame of living, fiery power, resisting temptation amidst those who deny and blaspheme. Do you remember Matthew 28, verse 18? What does Jesus say of himself? He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He said all power. He was saying all authority and all strength to do it in heaven and earth is given to him, yea, even in his humanity, let alone his deity. Then he adds, because he has that authority and the power, he adds, go ye. And he ends that command with a promise, lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. If you're saved, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you're not saved, then my friend, you better fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. By the way, this shows that God prepares a body that will burn forever and never cease to exist, in that he can destroy both body and soul in hell. And yet he doesn't want to use his power to do that. He wants to use his power to save your soul. So he has given us the spirit of power, and then he also gives us the gift of love. You know, I find it interesting. At New Year's, people often make resolves. And they resolve in love for maybe their mate or somebody, maybe in the church, for their church. Maybe a good resolve that you don't have to wait till New Year. That's too far away. Good resolve to make right now in love for Christ is that you're not going to be overcome by a spirit of fear, but rather that gift of love is going to live in you, that spirit of power and of love. Oh, what a good resolve to have. You see, the test of our character is measured according to our conformity to God. If we love what he loves and we hate what he hates, then we shall truly bear the image of God. Now let me repeat that. You may want to write it down. The test of our character is measured according to our conformity to God. If we love what he loves and hate what he hates, we shall truly bear the image of God. Well, what does God hate? He hates sin. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord. Remember, now the good fear to have is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is what? He says, is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. That's what God says. I hate those things. All evil springs from the thought life. Perhaps that's why Job, in his life, said no evil thing that he would set before his eyes, that he made a covenant with his eyes not to set any evil thing before them. I'm afraid the internet has caused many a young ones, as well as old ones, to set many evil things before their eyes. Pornography abounds. It's on your television. It's in your advertisement. It's in the way people dress. People walk around in various stages of undress. Then we must add that lying must stop. Without the virtue of truth and honesty, there is no security in promises, oaths, and even friendships. Pay your debts monetarily as well as in love. For Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Just resolve not to attack those who stand true to the word in doctrine, in separation from the world, and seeking to live a holy and righteous life. I said this before, I can say it again. You can come to my church and you can find something that you can say, this is wrong, I don't agree with it. You can come live with me, and I don't know that you would want to, but you could come and live with me. And you'd say, boy, there are things that I just don't like about Andy Bloom, and they would probably be right things. And we could say that about anybody, and we could say that about any church. We could say that about any fundamental Christian college, any ministry. But does that call for us to attack? Listen, when somebody is wrong in doctrine, we point it out. When they're wrong in practice, we point it out. But the reason for pointing out is to call them back to the right way. To call them back to holiness and righteousness. So what great gifts these are, power and love. And then a final gift here that is spoken of here is the gift of a sound mind. Now, what is a sound mind? Well, maybe we ought to go to Philippians chapter 4:8, where we read the characteristics of a sound mind, where it says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. My friend, that is sound-mindedness. See, the Spirit of God will not lead into fanaticism. Now, the world calls anybody that witnesses, that has standards, that practices holiness and separation, is a fanatic. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet, and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.